Richard Roper joins us now, and let's talk a little bit more about Brian Wilson today, Richard. For people of a certain age, this really, really hits home. Not that he didn't appeal to a wide range of age groups.
The cliche about, you know, the soundtrack of our lives, but with the Beach Boys, it was true on different levels, because first of all, they were, you know, you can make the argument they were the greatest American band of all time, right up there with, you know, whether you say the E Street Band or the Eagles in terms of success, but influence as well. But also, you think of all the movies, Bob, you know, Boogie Nights and Vanilla Sky, Almost Famous. There's a famous scene where the older sister is going to get out of the house, and she says her younger brother, look under the bed, and there's a satchel of albums. And Cameron Crowe, the director, once told me he knew that first album that the kid was going to see in that satchel was going to be Pet Sounds, was going to be a Beach Boys album. So it had generational impact. And then, of course, as a musician, Brian Wilson had such influence.
And that friendly rivalry between the Beach Boys, Brian, and the Beatles is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, because the story, as you know, is that Paul McCartney was like, hey, we got to step up our game after you heard Pet Sounds and we got Sgt. Pepper's. But, you know, the generational thing, Bob, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, if in the 1970s, if, you know, there had been stories about, oh, George Gershwin has finally passed away, or Duke Ellington, you know, that's your parents' music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way now. I know a lot about, at least a little about younger music, only because I hear it on soundtracks of TV shows and movies I write. So I'll say, oh, that's how I found out about Sabrina Carpenter. But we're not supposed to know all the names on that Lollapalooza sheet anymore. Half of them sound like bars or, you know, lunch specials. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. And the oldies now are Blink 182 and Green Day. You have to understand that those are the nostalgia act for this generation.
Sadly.
I mean, that's just the way
true.
It goes. You know?
But how many musical acts span 60 years? I mean, I think with the Beach Boys, like the Beatles, you have younger generations finding the music, don't you?
I think that's the thing when you look at it. It's not that people don't still appreciate, you know, big band music and things like that, but rock has lasted the longest of any American music form. And again, because, you know, you'll hear a Beach Boys song in a TV show from 2019, or you'll hear, you know, the Beatles. And of course, now you get these great documentaries about the Beatles and the Beach Boys. So I do think that there's more of a generational appreciation for those original rock and roll artists than maybe we had for previous genres of music and those great musicians from way back in the day.
Well, it was so different, too, wasn't it?
I mean, you listen to something like Good Vibrations. It's as sophisticated and amazing as any pop composition, maybe more so. Or even if you look at The Who, they were rocking out in 1964 as loud as any band is today.
Yeah, why does a Beach Boys song from the 60s or a Beatles song from decades ago still sound fresh? I mean, that's the genius of these artists.
You remember Frank Sinatra famously said he thought Something, the song Something by the Beatles, was the greatest song he had ever heard, and he loved singing it.
Remember when Brian was in the St. Charles area in the late 90s?
Yeah, he moved there for a couple of years. He wanted to be close to a producer, I believe, named Joe Thomas, who was here. But he did his first solo concert of all time, ever, Bob, in 1998 at St. Charles East High School, I believe it was, because they have a beautiful auditorium there. And I think they taped it for a VH1 special. And he was joined by Timothy B. Schmidt of the Eagles and Christopher Cross. But it was him singing solo. And you can look that stuff up on YouTube and find it. So for just a brief period of time, you think of him as the ultimate California guy and the ultimate California band, and he was, I don't know, what is that, about 35 miles outside of Chicago?
He went back west fast after a couple of winters,
I think. Yeah, we had a couple of those vortex, and he was like, you know, I missed the sandbox.
While he was in St. Charles, he was working on some new music, and Steve Dahl also got involved with Brian, writing some material. Brian had worked with Los Angeles DJs in the past, so that wasn't entirely new to him.
I actually, now you mentioned, I remember going up to Milwaukee and seeing Brian perform, and Steve was on stage with the band. You know, they had become pretty close, so that's another cool local connection.
Yeah, as we listen to these songs, I guess Good Vibrations is the one that stands out, right? Because it was over 7 months, I think, and more than 20 sessions, and he's working with the Wrecking Crew, the studio musicians who worked on all the hits recorded in L.A. in the 60s and early 70s. These guys were a lot older. and more formal than Brian the Kid, but they respected Brian's genius, so they put up with him.
Yeah, and that was like a symphony, you know, in one song. The other one I think that resonates a lot, Bob, is God Only Knows, and people remember the end of Love Actually when everybody was at Heathrow Airport reuniting, and the crew actually took video of real-life couples and fathers and sons and sisters and grandparents reuniting or greeting family members. You watch the last 3 minutes of Love Actually set to God Only Knows. If you don't cry, I can't be your friend.
That's the song that Paul McCartney referred to as the greatest song ever written.
Amazing.
Not bad, huh?
Pretty good praise from a guy who penned a few himself.
Well, I watched, I think, 1 hour of that three-hour Beach Boys documentary, so I have to finish now.
And Love and Mercy is a great fictional film with John Cusack playing Brian Wilson as well. There's a lot of great material out there for people who just know maybe a couple of the songs.
Sad ending, I think, to Brian's life. When we had Mike Love on the show, I asked him, will he ever get back together with Brian? Of course, they had famous riffs over songwriting credits. But and Mike said at the time, this was a couple of years ago, he's really not in shape to do that anymore.
Yeah, I think the last few years. I think the nice thing, though, because he had so many problems with that guru and the drugs and everything, it felt like maybe right around the late 90s and through the 2000s that there was a little renaissance and he was connecting with the music and performing again. So I think there was some happiness there before the last few years.
Hopefully. Richard Roper, talk to you again next Thursday.
Thanks,
Richard.
Bob.